gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, which we've been reading in for a year. Another parable of Jesus, and we continue our series throughout the fall on rethinking our binary thinking, which means replacing the or, one or two, right or wrong, with and with the belief that the opposite of one truth is not another truth, but a deeper truth. So listen for God's word. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Thanks be to God. There was a man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus. In order to hear the truth a parable has to tell, you have to inhabit the world the parable creates. That is what we're going to try this morning. After a few non sequiturs in Luke 16th chapter about wealth also notice Lazarus is silent throughout the whole parable. I think this is not by chance. The poorest of the poor have no voice. Usually they are also invisible. Except in the world of the parable, Lazarus is at the gate of the rich man. Every time the rich man enters or leaves his property, Lazarus is lying in the way of his coming and going, as well as in the way of those who fancy themselves on the way to the rich man's table. But the rich man neither hears him nor sees him. I've been reading two books in a desperate attempt to understand the root causes that keep Lazarus at our gate in this nation, even as you will see and hear Lazarus at our gate, some of you this afternoon at our brother's place, or eat with our PIM guests at First Germantown this week, and see and hear Lazarus. There are books that trace the history of race and class in America through slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and now mass incarceration in the black community. And in the white community, through indentured servants from England to clayers and crackers in the 19th century, trailer trash and rednecks in the 20th century, and the Honey Boo Boo reality television of today. I know these folks. My dad came from the Hollers of West Virginia. He was the first to go past eighth grade in his family. When I translate the first century parable into the 21st century world I know, I locate myself, if not behind the gate, then now and again as one invited through the gate, dressed in purple and fine linen, to feast splendidly. Like the rich man, I live effectively not seeing the human beings with names who lie beneath the class I am working so hard to inhabit. The discomfort middle-class Americans feel when forced to acknowledge the existence of poverty highlights the disconnect, Nancy Eisenberg writes in her History of Class in America, the disconnect between image and reality. It seems we have made little progress since James Agee exposed the world of poor sharecroppers in 1941. We still today are blind to the cruel radiance of what is, seeing the poor, if ever we do, and if ever we do more than blame their character for their lot, seeing the poor, we have to wonder how such people exist amid plenty. Mostly, they barely exist and die a good decade before we do. The poor man died, Jesus continues. Stop. One day he simply disappears from sight. A relief to those who had to avert their eyes on the way to Burberry's or Tiffany's or Barney's or Largo's or dinner at Alma de Cuba. But Jesus does not stop. The poor man dies and is carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. Whether immediately or a decade later, the rich man also dies and is buried. Period. No angels escorting him to his heavenly home. Not by a long shot. The parable is a parable rich man finds himself in Hades, where he is tormented. A big part of what torments him is seeing Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Early Jewish views of the afterlife imagined that the saved and the damned could see one another. Look now, says the Most High in one text, and understand what you have denied, whom you have not served, whose commandments you have despised. But the rich man's character, which is the character in question here, has been stamped indelibly with his privilege. He calls out to Abraham, "Have mercy on me," and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in agony in these flames. Really? The rich man's audacious command brings to mind a letter circulating on social media dated August 7th, 1865. Maybe some of you have seen this. Written by a freed slave named Jordan Anderson. Jordan Anderson's former master had written him shortly after the end of the Civil War, asking him to come back to the plantation because his business was in trouble. And Jordan was in Ohio, the plantation in Big Spring, Tennessee. After sending greetings to everyone he left behind and sharing a bit about his new life, Mr. Jordan Anderson, the former slave, asks Mr. Patrick Henry Anderson, the former master, to write him and say what wages he will pay him, to help him decide. Then, Jordan Anderson adds that his wife, Mandy, says she would be afraid to go back without some proof that you were disposed to treat us justly and kindly. And we have concluded to test your sincerity by asking you to send us our wages for the time we served you. This will make us forget and forgive old scores and rely on your justice and friendship in the future. I served you for 32 years and Mandy for 20 years. At $25 a month for me and $2 a week for Mandy, our earnings would amount to $11,680. Adding interest and subtracting the cost of clothing, three doctor's visits, and a pulled tooth, he suggests a check be sent to Adams Express care of V. Winters, Esquire, Dayton, Ohio. Then Mr. Jordan Anderson concludes, "We trust the good maker has opened your eyes to the wrongs which you and your fathers have done to me and my fathers, in making us toil for generations without recompense. Surely there will be a day of reckoning for those who defraud the laborer of his hire. Say howdy to George Carter, and thank him for taking the pistol from you when you were shooting at me. I'm your old servant, Jordan Anderson." Warren ended her questioning of Wells Fargo's CEO by bemoaning the fact that there are no consequences in this life for the like of this 21st century rich man. Apparently nothing has changed in 2,000 years. As Abraham tenderly explained to the rich man in the parable, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so. And no one can cross from there to us." More success.